multiple colors are present, such as brown, black, or tan, this may signal a warning that it's not benign. Melanomas may also become red, white, or blue. D is for diameter. In this case, smaller is better usually. While melanomas may start small, they tend to grow to be 6 millimeters or larger. An easy way to evaluate size is to compare it to a standard pencil eraser, which is roughly 1/4 inch, or 6 millimeters. E, or evolution. Observing for changes in size, shape, color, and elevation are all characteristics to stay on top of. Bleeding, itching, or crusting are signs of potential trouble as well. Bottom line, if a mole shows any signs of changing in any way, it's time to see your dermatologist as soon as possible. Aside from following the ABCDEs of skin cancer, knowing the single most and primary risk factor in developing skin cancer is prolonged exposure to ultraviolet UV radiation. Whether it comes from the sun directly and or tanning beds, powerful UV rays cause a tremendous amount of skin damage. Sunburns, especially those that are severe, causing blistering and bleeding, exponentially increase these risks. Also, people with fair-colored skin, light hair, and light eye color tend to burn more easily and have a greater sensitivity to UV rays, making them more susceptible to melanoma. However, skin cancer can and does occur in every race, skin color, and ethnicity. Lastly, between scheduled dermatology appointments, it's as important you also take time to personally inspect your skin from head to toe regularly. Melanomas can develop anywhere on the body, including areas that do not get much sun exposure and can be easily missed during an exam. They can also be harder to spot on people with darker colored skin. One of the most famous examples of this involved the legendary reggae artist Bob Marley. Having died from melanoma in 1981, his cancer started on his toe. It simply cannot be stressed enough. If you notice changes to your skin, don't write it off and have it checked as soon as possible. Taking action will not only save that beautiful skin of yours, but possibly your life as well. Home remodeling tips from the pros, family features. With the extra time many Americans have spent at home over the past few months, there have been plenty of opportunities to think about how that living space could be improved. While this may not be the ideal time to tackle a full gut and renovate project, it may still be possible to do some smaller scale remodeling projects that update and improve your home. For example, simple cosmetic repairs like painting and replacing vanities can make a noticeable difference with minimal work or investment. Or if you're hesitant about bringing contractors into the house, outdoor projects like replacing fencing, adding paver stones, or constructing outdoor living spaces may be a benefit for your family. Before you take on a project, consider these tips from Roby Kursik, MCKBRUDCP, Chairman of the Board of the National Association of the Remodeling Industry and co-CEO of Timeline Renovation and Design. Define the purpose. The first consideration, whether you're making changes for yourself or for a future resale, is the purpose of your project. This determines everything from the budget to the materials you select. Remember, projects in the kitchen and bathroom typically bring the greatest return on investment. It's also a good idea to plan how you'll use the renovated area. When possible, incorporate elements of universal design that don't change how the space looks, but we'll change how it works. For example, in the bathroom, install a curbless shower, taller toilet, and block in walls to allow future installation of grab bars. Stick to a budget. Another early decision is your budget. It's fruitless to spend time looking at materials and making design decisions based on products that exceed your budget or, conversely, fall below the quality level you prefer. Having a professional involved can help keep you from overspending and identify areas where you may want to splurge or pull back. Select a remodeler. Friends and family can be great resources when it comes to choosing a remodeling contractor, since they're likely to give detailed and candid opinions about their experiences. When you begin interviewing companies yourself, verify they're licensed and insured, and ask what they offer above those minimum requirements. Are they certified or accredited? Do they specialize in the type of work you're considering? Also, be sure to request and check references and search online for reviews. Keep it safe. For some families, sticking to outdoor projects may be more comfortable in the short term. For those who are ready to bring contractors inside, there are numerous steps you can take to create a safer working environment. Examples include asking everyone involved to wear face masks and gloves, and using plastic at doorways to keep the work area separate from the living area. Regular disinfecting and a thorough cleaning at the end of the project are also important preventive steps. Find more remodeling resources, including certified contractors in your community, at remodelingdoneright.com. Master Gardeners, plants in pots need fertilizer to grow. By Debbie Rowland, Master Gardener. If you grow plants in pots, fertilizing them is a must. Each time you water a container plant, the nutrients are leached out of the potting mix. A plant that is in the ground has roots that grow and seek out additional nutrients, but a container plant is basically quarantined, a word we are way too familiar with now, from beneficial bacteria and nutrients in the soil. Even with the high-quality compost and or potting soil, it only takes about 6 weeks for a plant to begin showing signs of needing help. First, incorporate fertilizer pellets into your potting mix, unless the mix already contains fertilizer. Some brands feed for 60 days and some for 120 days, so be sure to read the label so you will know when to begin adding nutrients. If you want to use an organic product, alfalfa pellets, cottonseed meal, or fish meal pellets are some of the available choices. Second, as your plants grow, add a liquid fertilizer as a supplement. They deliver nutrients directly to the roots and are easy to apply. Follow the directions for the amount for each plant and the dilution rate. If you are fertilizing fruiting plants, such as tomatoes and peppers, pick a fertilizer that is high in potassium. If the plant does not fruit, use one with an equal ratio of NPK, nitrogen, phosphorus, and potassium. Finally, if you notice that your plants seem stressed, feed the plant directly onto the leaves with a spray bottle. Cut back dried or damaged foliage and spray water-soluble fertilizer directly onto the foliage. Caution: only do this when the temperature is below 90 degrees and the plant is not in full sun, such as early morning or late evening. Otherwise, the leaves will burn. And since there is always an exception, salad leaves, lettuce, spinach, etc., do not usually need additional fertilizer. Most herbs do not require fertilization either and do better in dry conditions with nutrient-poor soil, especially rosemary and thyme. For more information, call the AgriLife office at 498-4071 in Odessa or at 686-4700 in Midland, or visit aggie-horticulture.tamu.edu or westtexasgardening.org. Gardening, Texas Master Gardeners. We are an educational service organization of volunteers trained by Texas A&M AgriLife Extension Service. Visit westtexasgardening.org.
Hi, this is Linda. I'm reading the Odessa American for Sunday, July 12th, 2020. Early Blight in Potatoes and Tomatoes by Jeanette Castanon, horticulturalist with the Texas AgriLife Extension Service. Symptoms of early blight in tomato and potato range from damping off, collar rot, stem canker, leaf blight, as well as fruit and tuber rot. There are foliar symptoms that include small dark flecks on older leaves, which grow to become brown, black, angular areas surrounded by a yellow halo. These spots have rings in them that give them a target appearance. As the spots spread, the whole leaf may turn yellow and die. On tomato fruit, the spots are usually sunken in. The lesions usually start at the point of the stem attachment and may expand to the entire upper portion of the fruit. Older lesions will sometimes be covered in black fungal spores called conidia. Early blight is caused by the fungus Alternaria solani. Potato and tomato are the main hosts of A. solani. Other solanaceae plants include eggplants, pepper, horse nettle, cucumber, and zinnia are also known hosts. The pathogen survives on infected crop debris and in the soil for years. It can also overwinter on volunteer hosts and weeds. The spores are spread by wind and splashing water. Infection occurs directly or through stomata on older leaf tissue and through wounds. Symptoms will appear about a week after infection. You can control this by ensuring you have pathogen-free seed and resistant transplants. Reduce sources of disease such as weeds and plowing under crop debris. Rotate to non-hosts for at least 2 years. Avoid standing water in your garden since the fungus thrives in hot, wet environments. You can also apply fungicides every 7 to 10 days. For more information, call the AgriLife office at 498-4071 in Odessa or 686-4700 in Midland. Email jeanette.castanon@ag.tamu.edu or visit aggie-horticulture.tamu.edu or westtexasgardening.org. Midland man loses big with Tops. Midland Tops Club Incorporated, take off pounds sensibly. The nonprofit weight loss support organization has begun unveiling its top royalty from 2019 for 2020. Tops royalty are men and women who, at the end of the year, have officially recorded the largest weight loss from their starting weight, regardless of the time taken to reach their goal. Danny Lebowski of Midland, who lost 203.4 pounds, is the Texas King. Lebowski attributes his weight loss success to the support he receives from his fellow TOPS members, along with portion control and regular exercise. Before weight loss, I struggled to get out of bed, get dressed, and do daily chores. Now I play golf, and I even play my saxophone better, he said. TOPS offers an individual approach to weight loss and overall wellness. Consistent group support, health education, and recognition are all key components to successful weight management. With the support of TOPS, this year's royalty and countless others before them have shown that personal transformation is possible through small, sustainable lifestyle changes. As someone who has maintained a 100-pound weight loss for 15 years, I know firsthand the dedication these folks have shown. Danforth has invited Lebowski to participate in the TOPS International Recognition Days Conference, rescheduled for July 2021 in Niagara Falls, New York. Commemorating his life-changing achievement is an essential component of TOPS' winning formula, Danforth noted. Weekly meetings are the heart of TOPS' support, whether they are held online or in person. Visitors are welcome to attend their first TOPS meeting free of charge and encouraged to try more than one chapter since they're all a little different. Membership is affordable at just $32 per year in the U.S. and $48 per year in Canada, plus nominal chapter fees. To find a local chapter, view www.tops.org or call 800-932-8677. TOPS Club Incorporated is the original weight loss support and wellness education organization. Founded in 1948, TOPS is the only nonprofit, non-commercial weight loss organization of its kind. TOPS promotes successful weight management with a real people, real weight loss philosophy that combines support from others at weekly chapter meetings, healthy eating, regular exercise, and wellness information. TOPS has thousands of members, male and female, age 7 and older, in its network of thousands of weight loss support chapters throughout the United States and Canada.
Hello, this is April reading the Midland Reporter Telegram for Sunday, July 12, 2020. Viewpoints. Celebrating arts can still happen during pandemic. Danny Holeva, Arts Council of Midland. Dear fellow Midlanders, could we ever have imagined how 2020 would change our lives in 6 short months? Work, school, church, shopping, hotel stays, courts, recreation, and entertainment have all had to change how we attempt to present what we do. In most cases, we are getting business done virtually or electronically. Having been born in Midland, I grew up in the oil industry's cyclical patterns. The industry affects all of us living and working in Midland, not just those who work for an oil company. Oil is all of us. Since 1981, the Arts Council of Midland has been a hub for cultural activities and opportunities. In 1984, our arts festival, Celebration of the Arts, began, and over 3 decades on, it is the longest-running annual event held in downtown Midland. We were prepared to have a fantastic festival this May with more than 75 visual artists, performing artists, and art activities all held in the beautiful new Bush Convention Center. But a postponement of our event turned into further delays, and then realizing even an early fall venue was not possible. And alas, the ACM Board of Trustees made the difficult decision to cancel the 2020 festival, which is also our largest annual fundraiser. But ACM is keeping our course and planning for future programming while continuing to meet our mission of enriching lives with the arts through community-wide advocacy, education, outreach, and promotion. There are many small nonprofit art organizations that have challenges to face and responsibilities to meet. While you are on pause, not able to be a part of audiences for the visual and performing arts in Midland, there are a number of things you can do that are enriching for you and the agencies representing the arts. Donate. Give of your time, talents, or a monetary gift. All groups benefit, from a financial gift. But if you have a talent that the group lacks, you could step in during this slow time and help them with a business project they face. When things inevitably become busier, your time may be needed to help prepare for programming or events. Volunteers are always needed during busy times, but your talent may provide something which may be vital right now while things are on hold. Call and see how you can help. With our current spiking COVID-19 diagnosis in Texas, and yes, in Midland, it may be some time before we get to our next normal. We must all continue to safeguard ourselves, our supporters, staff, and volunteers. In the interim, if you are able, support an arts organization. Research the different organizations in our community and find a connection you share, a passion for that group. If you need help, give ACM a call at 687-1149 and we will help you. It may not be for a glamorous gala or exclusive event, but it may help pay the utility bills or ensure that an employee is paid. When this unprecedented experience is behind us, or at the very least better understood and controlled, we will have our cultural programs and activities to return to with even more reasons to celebrate the arts. If we all do what we can, our arts community will not only survive, but flourish. Danny Holeva is the Executive Director of the Arts Council of Midland. Online, acmidland.org. Arts organizations, easier to preserve than rebuild from scratch. Dear residents of Midland, our organizations, Basin PBS, Midland Community Theater, and the Museum of the Southwest, have made the difficult decisions to cancel our largest annual fundraising events, Main Street Live, Summer Mummers, and September Fest, because of the health and economic crises facing our communities. We love these events and love the community spirit they engender, and we plan to bring them back next year. However, for now, we need your help. These events generate very significant amounts of our annual operating budgets. We are continuing to deliver our missions virtually or in modified settings, and our organizations also have unavoidable and fixed expenses we must pay, such as insurance, utilities, and repairs and maintenance. Your support, even in the absence of these fantastic fun community celebrations, will keep us stable until we can fully reopen. Generations of Midlanders worked together to bring the arts and culture to our community, and we are honored to be the stewards of their legacies. Let's fight through this pandemic together, but if at the end we've lost that which makes this community vibrant, our hubs of creativity, community connection, and inspiration, we'll be starting over. It is far easier and less expensive to act now to preserve the future of the arts in our community rather than repair and rebuild from scratch next year. We believe in Midland and believe in the power of the arts to positively transform communities. In fact, the power of the arts has never been more apparent as Midlanders and people everywhere have been relying on the arts, music, books, television, movies, and performances over the internet, to provide hope and solace during these difficult times. We'll do our part now, providing inspiring and entertaining performances, educational programming, and exhibitions, although it may look a little different for a while. We want you to join in and be a part of this effort with us. Become a member, renew, or increase your membership level, or make a gift to replace the losses from these canceled fundraising events. With your help, we'll be ready to do even more for our community when we come out the other side of this experience together. Daniel Eck, Executive Director of the Museum of the Southwest, museumsw.org. Tim Jebson, Executive Director of Midland Community Theater, mctmidland.org. Laura Wolf, CEO and General Manager of Basin PBS, basinpbs.org. Dear Abby, Beachgoer mulls display of his naked angel tattoo. Dear Abby, I'm in my early 30s. I live and work in a beach town and visit the ocean often on my time off. I have a large tattoo on my side, and whilst tasteful and well done, it depicts nudity, an angel. It's always covered by a shirt and never exposed at work. While I know we're living in a progressive era of expression, including body art, I wonder if it's appropriate to go shirtless and display edgier graphic images like mine. Or could it be considered offensive to some folks who are not as open-minded. I see plenty of other people display all kinds of ink at the beach, even with kids around. I have only had positive feedback about mine. The beachgoers I've met seem to be open-minded. To cover up or let it show? What are your thoughts? Tatted in Florida. Dear Tatted, if you want to get a tan, then go for it. But use sunscreen. However, not all beachgoers will be thrilled to see a large naked angel getting roasted on the sand. So if you receive stares or critical comments, you may be more comfortable covering up. Dear Abby, I am married to the kindest and most wonderful man in the world. We are happy and enjoy each other's company. He is impotent and was taking medication to correct it while we were dating and at the beginning of our marriage. The medication gave him terrible headaches, so we agreed to just let this sexual aspect of our marriage go by the wayside. That was 10 years ago. I was okay with it until I started dreaming about having sex with random men. Yikes! I love my husband and would never cheat on him. I'm at a loss. Please help. Just a dream. Dear Just a Dream, being able to talk about these dreams may help them be less troubling and probably less frequent. If discussing them with your husband might upset or threaten him, you know him better than I do, then talk with a trusted friend or relative or a licensed mental health professional so you can vent. Of one thing I am sure, the harder one tries to suppress dreams, the more often they occur. Dear Abby, I have very loud joints. When I stretch out my neck, back, fingers, etc., my joints pop, click, crack, whatever you call it. They've always done this, and it isn't painful. The noise just happens when I stretch my body. Some of my family and friends tell me they find it gross and don't want to hear it. I want to be considerate, but sometimes I pop my joints automatically without thinking or because I really need to stretch. Is making this sound rude? I don't try to make a lot of noise, but I can't help it. Noisy Lady in Michigan. Dear Noisy Lady, according to the Cleveland Clinic, the older a person gets, the more noise one's joints can make. This is normal. However, if there is pain along with it, it may be time to consult a doctor. Because the noise is disconcerting to those around you, try to be mindful and refrain from doing it in their presence, or gently stretch the muscles around those joints, which may eliminate your need to pop off entirely.
Thank you for joining us for this week's reading of the Midland Reporter Telegram and the Odessa American Sunday Lifestyle sections. This is the Recording Library of West Texas, enriching the lives of individuals with physical, visual, and learning disabilities since 1963. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand with your computer or favorite mobile device at recordinglibrary.org.
Next on Recording Library of West Texas Radio, Far West Texas News, followed by the Midland Reporter Telegram and Odessa American at 8.
Now here's your forecast for the Midland, Odessa area. It's 80 and clear. Tonight, partly cloudy with a low in the mid-80s. Then tomorrow, partly cloudy with a high in the upper 90s. Tomorrow night, partly cloudy with a low in the low 80s. From the Recording Library of West Texas 24-Hour Weather Center, I'm Maria Lopez.
Coronavirus updates, weekdays at 1.
This is the Recording Library of West Texas. It's 7 a.m.
Welcome to this week's edition of Far West Texas. Readings from the Big Bend Sentinel, the Monahans News, and the Fort Stockton Pioneer, read by volunteers and staff. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
This is Melanie, and I'm reading the Big Bend Sentinel, published July 15, 2020. Long night of primary runoff election results ends with one race still too close to call. By Beck Andrew Salgado, Presidio County. Polls closed for runoff elections in Presidio County at 7 p.m. on Tuesday. With all precincts reporting, candidates are declaring victories, and in one close contest for the Republican nomination for the Texas 23rd District, a minuscule 7-vote difference has candidate Tony Gonzalez claiming victory over Raul Reyes, who says it's not over yet. The July 14th runoff races included Democrats Mary M.J. Hager and State Senator Royce West, who were facing off the opportunity to challenge Republican incumbent John